Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, auto, home, life, business insurance. Their motto is simple. Service and price mean everything to them because they know it means everything to you. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. This is one of the few days of the year where there is no sports action whatsoever, except for the baseball All-Star game tonight, which takes place in Minneapolis. The worthless exercise of treat it for what it is, an exhibition game. Have fun, enjoy it. You know, Bud Selig took Warren Giles' idea, and they decided to have the World Series home field, the game means something, and so forth. Phony concept, because if the game meant something, Adam Wainwright and or Clayton Kershaw would go seven innings tonight. Felix Hernandez would go seven innings. It really meant something. Well, let's give the ball to the best big game pitcher in baseball. Let's let John Lester take the ball tonight and go seven, maybe eight. Andrew McCutchen would play all nine innings. Don't make it more than what it is. Just have fun with it. Kevin Hurd joins us. The anti-Derek Jeter. Doesn't think he should be in the game. Doesn't think he should start.
That I do believe is correct. I do not think he should start. Listen, does it matter? No. Wait.
Excuse me.
Chipper Jones. That's all I have to say.
He is the only Chipper Jones. What?
Chipper Jones was not a starter. Came in his final All-Star game. Got a huge standing ovation. Had to wait to step in the box. Gets a little bit of an infield single there in the hole between first and second, and a very, very nice moment. But he wasn't a starter.
No offense. He's not Derek
Jeter. He's not Derek Jeter. I knew you were going to say that, and I will concede that fact.
Right, and I think Chipper Jones is a marvelous player, was a marvelous player. Great player. Derek Jeter? No. Derek Jeter should be starting the All-Star game because Derek Jeter is the definition of what an All-Star is.
Now, here's one thing that I will give
there
you.
There isn't a single person that paid their dime tonight to watch your Ramirez guy play. Nobody. Okay? They are there to watch Derek Jeter play. Give them what they want.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying vote him there.
If the game were controlled by you, you'd ruin it.
I think there are several people that are baseball fans that I've read over the last several days that have the same feeling I do. They understand why Derek Jeter's there. They're fine with Derek Jeter being there. But does he deserve to be there in the definition of an All-Star game? No.
Oh, come on. It's a meaningless exhibition game.
Then don't tie home field advantage to it if it's meaningless.
Did I start out by saying what?
I'm sorry. I agreed with what you said.
Oh, if anybody, Sean, Drew, anybody, can you replay the start of the program? That way we can get Kevin to listen to it.
And I'm agreeing with you. But you can't call it a meaningless exhibition game if something that affects baseball is attached to it.
If it were a meaningful game,
yes.
In reality, how many innings does Felix Hernandez pitch tonight?
As many as he can before he starts to lose the game.
Okay,
I agree.
Adam Wainwright and or Clayton Kershaw.
100% behind.
How many innings does Andrew McCutchen play tonight?
Again, 100% behind you with that.
If you're going to mess around and play the game the way they play it, then it lacks the legitimacy you're talking about. Where you're trying to get if the game meant something, really meant something. There would be certain teams that would not be represented in the All-Star game. If it meant something. If this game meant something, like really meant something, David Ortiz, despite the season he's having, would be on my roster. Because if it meant something, I have a funny feeling he'd deliver a clutch hit. If it meant something. Okay? You can't have all 30 teams represented and have and then tell me it means something. You do not have the best players in baseball in this game tonight. There are people that are left out because of the rule dealing with each team being represented. So if you're going to continue to do this, if you're going to have the game be a legitimate game that means something, you have to then play it like it's a legitimate game.
And I'm agreeing with you in everything you're saying, 100% right there behind you. But what my argument is this. You can't attach anything that has any impact at all to the rest of the season to this game if you're going to do the game this way. And that's the way the All-Star game's intended to be. Everybody, every team's represented. You know, you kind of get the best players. The fans are involved in the vote. That's why from day one, I thought that adding home field advantage to the winner of the All-Star game was a ridiculous ploy.
Well, it was done because, look, here's the problem that Major League Baseball has. The average age of the individual that watched last year's All-Star game was 53.
Wow.
Okay, that's the average age. Now, I am not one that places a tremendous amount of credence in you must get the 18 to 49 demographic. They're the ones that buy. No, 40 to 65 buys. Okay. They're the ones that actually do the buying. No offense. There are a lot of 18 to 40 year olds that are sitting there going, I have student loans. I don't know what to do. Okay. But the average age of last year's viewer was 53 years old. That's a problem. And when you look at the ratings have gone down from the 70s with a couple of little peaks here and there. There are a couple of little peaks when in the World Series when the Yankees won in the 90s, peaks when the Red Sox won in 4, 7, and 13. You can see the graph go up a bit. The All-Star game has just steadily gone down. There's a lot of other things to do and you know that people are doing right now. And even though this is the, quote, deadest time of the year for sports, I mean, yesterday they were literally no games played on a major league level. I mean, none.
No,
I mean,
I did two games.
As I said, a meaningless day. I mean, that takes too long, and that's drawn out.
Oh, that was painful. I went back to Game of Thrones.
I barely watched it, I'll be frank with you. I saw a little bit of Josh Donaldson hitting, a little bit of Frazier hitting, and a little bit of Cespedes hitting, and I think that was it.
Go ahead and finish your thought. I have a solution to the home run derby problem.
I can't wait. Go ahead.
All right. Here's my solution to the home run derby problem.
First off, eliminate it.
No. I think it has a place, but it can't go on for 3 hours. It just can't. Even the most interested baseball fan is tired of hearing back, 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 and watching a home run. No offense to Chris Berman, who I think does an outstanding job. I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying. Now, that being said, why are there 10 outs? Or I don't even know. How many outs did they play last night? Was it 10? There's three.
Seven.
You play three.
Seven.
Baseball has 3 outs. If you can't hit a home run in 3 pitches, move to the next guy. Get him out of here.
Actually, you know what I would do? This is what I would do. I would get little leaguers. Okay?
Okay.
And you get 7 outs, right? If you get a base hit, which is an out, I'd put a little leaguer on first. I get a base hit, which is an out. Suddenly, I've got a little leaguer that's on second, first and second. Then I hit a home run. That counts for 3.
Yeah, I think there's potential to that.
Yeah, I mean, have a little fun with it.
I think there's potential to that.
You get young people involved. You know, when I say, and they'd be behind screens, by the way. You know, they'd be protected,
right,
just like the fielders are protected. I mean, I'd have them protected behind screens. But have them out there, and all of a sudden, boom, you load the bases, you hit a grand slam, it's worth 4.
See, I also like the idea.
Now, look, a lot of people were really, I did not see it. I hope I get a chance to see it on YouTube, but the Giancarlo Stanton home run.
I did see it.
510 feet into the upper deck. There were some of the Twins players that said, look, that's the one guy we think can actually hit it out of this park. And I guess he missed by, what, 6 rows?
See, I think there should be...
That's remarkable.
I think there should be bonus points available in certain ballparks to hit it in certain spots.
Like San Francisco or Pittsburgh hit it in the river?
There you go. Or maybe you put... And in other spot, in other stadiums, you put a target up and you get a bonus run.
They've done that.
And I like that.
And the other part, you could build a moat. And if they hit it into the moat... You think I'm mocking you now?
Yeah, I know you are. No, I think you there should like put it in the third deck. You get an extra run, but I think there should still only be 3 outs. Baseball's a 3 ounce game, not a 7 ounce, not a 10 ounce. Listen, you can sit there all day long and warm up underneath the stadium in a cage for home run derby.
Do you know how irrelevant this is?
Zero, I know. But it's the only thing in baseball going on besides the All-Star game.
I know. It's just like such a nothing topic.
But it's fun to discuss.
But this is the week of the year where you can talk about irrelevant, stupid things where it just doesn't really matter. And the scope of sports, it means nothing. But we might as well have fun talking about it.
But when you were talking about when you're talking about Jeter, here's my feeling on that. I would like to have seen. I have no problem that he's at the All-Star game, that he's a member of the team. I'm not as much excited that he's a starter. But if you're the starter at shortstop, do what A-Rod did. I have to. You know, I'm not a big A-Rod fan, but I liked what he did in 01. Gave up his spot as a starter and let Cal Ripken play short instead of being a third baseman like he was voted in as. That's fine.
Well, there's nobody. He's only played shortstop his entire life. He can't do that.
I know that, but he was, you know, Cal was voted in as a third. Was he voted in as a third baseman that year?
Yeah.
So A-Rod said, "Here, you're playing short."
Yeah, I know.
That's
nice.
Fine. Okay. That's what they should
do. Swap spots.
If you're the spots.
Okay, who's swapping spots with Jeter? He's only played shortstop in his life.
I understand that, but I'm saying that if Jeter wasn't the leading vote getter and you wanted to put him on the All-Star team, sure, that's a fine idea. And as the starter, if you want to give up that spot and say, you know what, you deserve this for what you've done, that's great.
A-Rod didn't give up his spot. A-Rod was starting already.
Well, he switched spots.
They changed places.
Okay, all right. I'm still giving him credit for the small things that he's done in his career that you can give him credit for.
That was a great thing and a classy thing that he did. But don't make it seem like, you know what, I'm taking myself out. No, you're just playing third base.
True. It was not as, you know, as momentous as it could have been.
It was magnanimous. I'd say an 8 out of 10. 10 would be I'm giving up the spot completely. 8 is I still get to start. I get to play third base. But it was a classy move by A-Rod. There's no doubt. It was very classy.
In a career that hasn't had a ton of classy moves lately.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kevin's anti-Derek Jeter. I'm a Red Sox fan. I understand and see greatness. It's a shame that Kevin thinks that like a guy like Ramirez starts and like TVs turn off.
Hey, I'll take Derek Jeter's autograph.
I know you will.
The dog days of summer are here.
And that means one thing.
When the temperatures go up, the prices come down.
At Sundry Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia.
If you like it hot, there's the Race Sleek 2014 Optima starting at $20,860 with 0% financing for up to 60 months.
That's hot.
Or the iconic hip hamster Souls
from $14,990.
Let's not forget Kia's award-winning SUV, the 2015 Sirena, with rebates and discounts up to $4,000 starting at $22,913. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. With 85 new vehicles to choose from, the hottest deals on the hottest cars in all of Central PA are at Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915.
Tax and tax extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. KMF bonus cash financing to well-qualified customers.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, Auto Home Life Business Insurance. At Kratzer Insurance, they have a very simple motto, and it deals directly with you. If service and price means something to you, it means everything to them. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Not the only All-Star game going on tonight or into tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Eastern League All-Star game will be right here in Pennsylvania. It's going to be in Altoona. Last time they hosted it was in 2006. Play-by-play voice of the Altoona Curve is Mike Passanisi. A really nice article written by Steve Samsel about Mike in the Altoona Mirror that came out yesterday. Mike, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, how you doing?
Well done. Well deserved. I think it set the right tone for the kind of job that you do. So.
It's everybody around here that does it. I mean, we're all getting ready, and we're all here all hours of the day making this All-Star game presented by UPMC Health Plan, making it happen. And then it's full steam ahead for 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, let's talk about the planning that goes into this. When did the planning really start for this, and now it has to really kick into fruition? So talk about the two ends of it.
Yeah, I mean, planning started. I mean, we first found out we were hosting the Pirates exhibition game back in the end of opening day 2012, and then about, I would even say, probably midway through that season, 2012, maybe into the last stages of the year of 2012, the calendar year, we as a staff knew we were having the All-Star game, and so we made preparations to announce that during the Pirates exhibition game last March. So in reality, you know, we've known about this game and we've been preparing for it, you know, it coming to these 2 days, you know, really since the calendar year of 2012 and pretty much the later stages of it, and everything from, you know, what the logos are going to look like and what this is going to look like. And I mean, it's been going on for that long to kind of really come into bird's eye view, so to speak. And I mean, just a testament to what everybody on the staff has been doing. I mean, there were about 10 of us here last night. We had to put the tarp on the field at about 9. Just we were worried about the rain overnight. While we were doing that, Ben, our groundskeeper, he was out with four of his guys, and they were still painting the All-Star logos onto the field because we had to put the tarp on for most of the day yesterday, and we weren't able to have it on, and we have it on again today. So they were out here till past 11 o'clock at night painting the logos, the intricate logos out on the field that the fans will see when they walk through the gates tonight and come and check out the park. And he's got a nice big A out in the outfield, and it's really nice to see it come together. And it looks like the weather's going to hold for us. It's supposed to be beautiful tomorrow. And this rain shower can pass through here pretty quickly. We're looking forward to getting things going tonight with the Heroes game by Ambucks in the Altoona Mirror, and then our Ghost Man Games home run hitting contest.
It's also a little bit about the...
I got to meet a few of the guys. I met the general manager of the Wounded Warrior amputee softball team, David Van Sleet, this morning.
Amazing.
We've been here. We were here at 4:30 this morning doing live news hits throughout most of the morning. And he's a great guy. And what the team is, basically, it's comprised of post-9/11 veterans who have lost a limb in while serving and still have the drive and the competitive drive to play athletically and play at a very high level. And I actually had one of the players out here this morning with us, and he had just the one leg amputated. But, I mean, he's the first baseman, or he's the third baseman for the Wounded Warrior amputee softball team. His name is Randy Wilk, and he was out here, and he's spry. And it's not like this is going to be a non-competitive game. These guys want to win. These guys want to play, and it's going to be awesome to watch these guys play. There were a couple of them that actually, if anybody stayed up late enough last night following the rain-delayed home run derby in Minnesota, they actually had the softball game on that was actually played on Sunday, and two of the Wounded Warrior amputee softball team guys were in that game over at Target Field. And we've got eight of them here tonight. They're going to take on our Curve alumni with the reigning resident, not real mayor, but probably could be the mayor, Adam Heisdew, kind of leading the charge on the other side of the team. Mm. He flew in from Pittsburgh last night. Pittsburgh fans will remember Jack Wilson, obviously, the Pirate and the Atlanta Brave. And then Tyke Redmond are the three, I guess, your headliner names. But then other pieces to that puzzle for the alumni team. Chris News, who played here for a lot of years. Mike Connolly. Yeah. Ford Gahan, who was with us in 1999. Ray Navarette. We've got eight guys. So it's going to be fun tonight, and it's all for a very awesome cause and just part of what we're doing here tonight.
Heisdew, of course, has his number retired in Altoona as well for everything that he's done. I've always discussed the Eastern League, or Double A in general, of being the make or break level. I mean, if you can bust through this level, you've got a shot at getting there. If you can't, the career's done. So you have the best of the best in the league gathering for the All-Star game. Give me a couple names that fans can look at and say, you know what, mobility upwardly is definitely in this guy's future.
Well, I think the first one that's on top of my list, there were, of the eight people that played in the Futures game that were named to this roster, six of them are still going to be here for this game. Gabriel Alvarez of Bowie, who was in the Futures game.
Yep.
I would have put you on that list, but he is not participating due to his participation in the Futures game. And then Henry Owens, who started for the U.S. team on Sunday afternoon, or Sunday evening in Minnesota, he would have been another one. But of guys that are coming here, Francisco Lindor is really the one that jumps off the top of my list. He's the Indians' number one prospect. He has been ever since he was drafted as a first-round pick. I think it was eighth overall a few years back. He's been an all-star every single year. He's been in pro ball. He's a shortstop. People have seen him come through here with Akron. He started his career in Mahoning Valley, so fans up in St. Collins might have gotten to have seen Lindor.
Yes, I would
put him at the top of my list as somebody who's, I don't want to say going to the big leagues soon, but with Asdrubal Cabrera, if I'm not mistaken, his contract's up at the end of the year in Cleveland.
Yep.
Everyone kind of says that the second coming, or that the coming of Lindor is right around the corner for possibly the start of 2015. So I'd put him in that category, in that conversation for sure. I really like Stephen Moya of Erie. He could put the ball out of here and put the ball out with really just the flick of the wrist. He's freakishly large. I equate him to a linebacker. He's 6'6", 229 pounds, and he's among the league leaders in home runs. Michael Taylor of Harrisburg is probably another Taylor.
Yep.
And Moya both also played in that Futures game on Sunday. Taylor's been working out of the leadoff spot, but he is on a red hot there. I think he's got 13 or 18 home runs, does Michael Taylor, but he's got the doubles. He's got the average to go with it. He's hitting like 330. Mm-hmm. Those are some guys. I'd say Lindor, Moya, and Taylor, just from the West squad, that I say within, you know, two years or less, I think those guys are going to make some kind of a big league appearance and have an impact in the big league.
Well, if I recall correctly, in 2006, the game winning hit was delivered by a player of the Curve. So for the Curve players in the All-Star game, let's talk a little bit about them, starting with Adrian Sampson.
Yeah, I think the R season starts and begins with Adrian Sampson. You really can't talk about R season without having two guys that have really put themselves on the prospect radar. One would be Sampson. He's been great for us, and he exemplified this when he was in State College right after he was drafted out of Bellevue Community College a couple of years ago back in 2012. He's been great. He's been the anchor of our rotation. When our guys like Nick Kingham and A.J. Morris have moved up to AAA, Sampson has stayed because he didn't have the kind of AA innings that both Morris and or Kingham had in prior seasons. But he's been fabulous for us. He leads our team in wins. He leads our team in ERA and in strikeouts. And he was doing all of those things even while Morris and Kingham were still here. He's really had, in my mind, only one bad start where he gave up seven runs. He's only given up four or more runs. I think it's 19 or 20 starts for Sampson now. He's only given up four or more runs just three times, which is just remarkable. I love him. He's not afraid to pitch inside. He really worked on a changeup last year in Bradenton. He complements that with a curvy slur type pitch, and then his fastball, which has some stink to it. And if he's on and he keeps the ball down in the zone, he's great. The other person that I think you can't talk about would be, or couldn't talk about our season without talking about catcher coming into the season, but he's really done it with the bat. He's hitting over 300 and has been for the entire season. He's already tied a career high in homers with five, and he's been an anchor in the 3 and 4 spot in our lineup when I don't think anybody saw that coming out of Diaz at the start of the season.
For you personally, what's this experience like, and how excited are you to see it come to fruition before your broadcast eyes tomorrow night?
I'm excited. I've never done an All-Star game. I've done some big events, whether it be as an intern running papers at the NCAA tournament, first and second rounds in 06, or working an NCAA tournament with San Diego State in Philadelphia, helping out just as a stringer and whatnot a couple of years ago. I've seen a lot of different things, but I've never worked and been and seen through an All-Star game. So I'm excited to watch everything kind of come to a head and hopefully go off without a hitch. We've got to host our Ghostman games tonight. And I'm really hoping that people come out and enjoy that tonight. It's a little bit of a different take on a traditional home run derby, only because our ballpark, as many fans know, is just so large. It's not exactly conducive to hitting home runs. So we try to make it a little fun. It is a little bit out there. But myself, our on-field host, Adam Erickson, Matt Hoover, and then my other podcast partner, Mike Baggs, we're going to do our best to explain this to fans as it goes. And we just want people to have fun with it, and we hope the guys have some fun with it too. And I'm really excited to see the fans' reaction to how this goes. I mean, we've got all-stars participating in a bubble gum blowing competition where they have to blow bubbles to see who can blow the bubbles, as many bubbles as quick as they can. This is something that they should be able to do quite easily. And then they'll earn ghost runners, and then basically, in essence, the home run hitters from each division that have been selected will have the ability to put those runners on the bases, and there will be live actual ghosts, which are members of our kids club. They'll stand behind screens, and if someone hits a home run, it's not just worth one run, it's worth four if they put three ghost runners on. So we're trying to amplify the game a little bit and have a little fun with it, and maybe give the All-Stars an opportunity to do some things that they can't do or that maybe they've wanted to do. We're going to let them play mascot dodgeball and take target practice and knocking out our mascots as well as opposing mascots from the rest of the league. And the team that knocks out the most mascots tonight will earn three ghosts to use in the hitting challenge part of the competition. So it's a little different, and we hope that people enjoy it.
Mike, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I know you and the rest of the staff and greatly appreciate the job you do.
Steve, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time.
Mike Passanisi, the play-by-play voice of the Altoona Curve. Kevin Herr breaks down the interview with complete analysis in a few moments on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, our Tuesday sponsor. Homeowners, life, auto, business insurance, service and price mean everything to you? Of course it does. It means everything to them. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. 99 years, Sunbury Motors has served the Valley. There's a reason you're in business 99 years, because you developed deep roots of trust and respect. And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. This is the perfect time of the year for you. Nothing going on. Nothing but a sense of anticipation, whatever. These days are your days.
I'm actually thinking football.
Thinking football. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, the SEC Media Days are going on right now in Hoover, Alabama. 4 days worth of Media Days
in Hoover, Alabama.
All covered on their own network.
No, their network doesn't begin until August 14th.
Until August 14th, right.
August 14th. But there's a huge media contingent because when it comes to football, they are very provincial in the South as a gross generalization. But as someone who's been down to enough Southern football venues over the course of his career, I can tell you that very provincial. They are the only ones that can criticize their own players or team. You let some outsider, a.k.a. some Yankee, do it. You were headed to the hoosegow with a guillotine. And the passion for it down there is incredible. Now, there's a lot of passion here. But you will find, even among the fan base, a little more objectivity among the fan base up here compared to down there. And you'll find far more objectivity by the media up here as opposed to the media down there. Now, they have 4 days of this. The Big Ten's going to do this 2 weeks from today, I think, is the Big Ten kickoff luncheon. So 13 days to the heavy media stuff, and then 2 weeks from today will be some media and the kickoff luncheon. How much more do you need? The SEC is doing 4 days. 4 days of what? There's only so many questions you can answer. And Mike Slive, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, has made it very, very plain. His number one goal, number one operation, is to get autonomy for the five major conferences in their ability to vote on matters that are important to them football-wise. And he's right about that. I mean, there's no question it's something that should have been done a long time ago. I mean, why should, for example, on a football issue, Elon College have a vote that's equal to that of Auburn? There's no need for it to be equal. There's certain things that the five major conferences need to take care of. And believe me, the five major conferences are not all in lockstep as to how they feel on every issue. They disagree on issues. But let them vote it out themselves because it affects them and it really doesn't affect the rest of the membership. But that has been his stated number one goal in Hoover when he has been interviewed the last 2 days. And I understand that. I understand exactly where he's coming from on that. Expect Jim Delaney to do the same thing when he meets with the media in Chicago in 2 weeks. Expect Jim Delaney also to talk about where we are in college sports today. He just testified at the O'Bannon trial. But here's the mistake in linguistics and mistake in terminology that Mark Emmert has made, and he's got to shelve this. Do not go before anybody in the O'Bannon trial or the NLRB or Senator Claire McCaskill's congressional committee. Do not get up there and start talking to them about the model of amateur sports. Do not do that. Talk to them about the model of collegiate sports and intercollegiate athletics. Do not use the word amateur. Don't. If I offer, let's say Kevin, for example, is a great lineman, and we'll put Kevin from Trenton, New Jersey, out of state, and I'm coaching at Penn State. Now we've gone from James Franklin and a chance to go 12-0 to Steve Jones, we're 0-12. But now I'm recruiting great offensive lineman Kevin Herr from Trenton, New Jersey.
I offer him not one, but a four-year scholarship and with the option of five to go to Penn State, which means there's going to be money transferred for his tuition over the years, money transferred for his housing over the years, money transferred for his food over his years, for the books and so forth. In return, he has to give me maximum effort on the practice and football fields. He has to give me maximum effort in the classroom, and he has to give me maximum disciplinary effort to stay out of trouble. That's his end of the bargain. We will coach him, train him, and do everything we can. And if a pro career happens to come out of it, we'll do everything we can to help him in that direction. We'll also help him in every direction to get his degree. But there's going to be a money exchange that's going to take place in the athletic department to the university that's going to allow all of this to happen. So Kevin Herr is not an amateur. Now, if Kevin Herr is a walk-on from Danville, and I say, hey, look, I can't offer you anything except being a part of the team. We'll give you a locker. We'll give you some gear. And, of course, you'll be on the meal plan, you know, because the new meal plan that goes in August 1st includes walk-ons. That's what we can offer you. And you'll have the resources that we have here, the Morgan Academic Center, things like that. We can offer you all that. We just can't offer you anything else. Now, that's the definition of an amateur. Paying his own way through school, paying for his own books, paying for his own housing. That's an amateur. Mark Emmert is trying to do this ivory tower amateurism deal. Stop it. Knock it off. Every time you speak, you hurt. Okay, you're not helping. He needs different advisors that need to give him a different way of doing it. He needs to talk about the collegiate or intercollegiate athletic model, not the amateur model. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Next hour, Kevin's favorite time of the year.